Good to see you all. Thank you guys for that. Wonderful. As always, so it's good to be here with you. It's Smoke Rise. Thanks to Brother Mark for asking me to come and be. I was pleased to be available today and to be able to be here with you and share God's word with you. I think I said this last time I was here. I thought about it. I think I, besides churches I pastored, was on staff, I think I've preached more here than any other church around. So all the way back from when I was about 19 years old over in the other building. So long history here. So I always enjoy being here and Sandy being with me today. We're headed to Florence as soon as we leave here today to get our daughter out of her room at college up there. So we got quite a day ahead of us. So let's get after it. Amen? What do you think? Passage or topic today is one that's always good. And I want to come to you today from a place of encouragement. I'm not here to beat you up. I'm not here to beat myself up. But this is one of those. This is one of those topics that any of us in the room can feel guilty. And so today, let's talk about prayer. Now, I don't care how strong your prayer life is, or how much you pray, or how effectively you pray. You can always feel like your prayer life could be more pleasing to Him. Amen? Right? In fact, the persons in here who are the most faithful in prayer would be the first ones to say, I need to be more effective in prayer. You know? You never arrive, okay? So, not here today to beat you up, because, boy, I'd be beating myself up real quick, too. So, this is all encouragement, okay? It's easy to kind of preach guilt on something like this, and that's not what we're here today to do at all. So I want you to take this in a spirit of encouragement. What really got me thinking about prayer this week so intently as I, you know, prepared myself to come here, was that Thursday was National Day of Prayer. How many of you recognize that? Okay, the first Thursday of May was National Day of Prayer, and I was real involved in that down in Montgomery with my my role down there with ALCAP. Representing our Alabama Baptist churches to Montgomery and to our state legislature. And so I was back doing a little research on just National Day of Prayer. I hosted a prayer breakfast Thursday morning right across the street from the Capitol and the State House, and we had over, I was doing the numbers, I think we had over a third of our legislators there Thursday morning for prayer. And we have probably 25% there week to week. We host a prayer breakfast every Thursday morning for our legislators during this legislative session. And we have a good group every week, but it was sort of like Easter. Everybody came on the same day. So we had 40-something legislators there Thursday morning. Then I went over to the Capitol and was honored to offer about five prayers, public prayers from the state Capitol steps, all under National Day of Prayer Alabama. And so my mind's really been on prayer this week as we prepared for that. I researched a little bit. It wasn't very hard to do, but I did go and look and found out more about prayer and our nation, because all the way back to 1775, the Continental Congress had established a day of prayer for the English colonies. And after this, they later established 2 days of prayer, one of fasting and prayer in the spring, and then 1 day of thanksgiving and praise in the fall. And following the presidency, so they established this. But unfortunately, after James Madison was president, the next 11 presidents didn't follow through with those proclamations of spring and fall, days of prayer, fasting, and thanksgiving. And there was about 50 years there where that didn't happen in the 1800s. And then it was in 1863, guess what time that was, right in the middle of the Civil War. In 1863, Abraham Lincoln says, we need to pray. And he calls for a National Day of Prayer and Thanksgiving. And that was established on what we now refer to as Thanksgiving Day. In 1952, during during the Korean War, Billy Graham was holding a crusade in D.C., and it was just a few blocks from the U.S. Capitol, and on February 3rd of 52, he led an unprecedented evangelistic event in front of 40,000 people on the steps of the Capitol. You can see pictures of this. It looks a lot different than it does now. But there were 40,000 people there on the steps of the Capitol in D.C. to petition the leaders of our country to return to an understanding of the significance of prayer. Again, right during a wartime. He said, this is the quote from Billy Graham, this comes off his website, "What a thrilling, glorious thing it would be to see the leaders of our country today kneeling before Almighty God in prayer. What a thrill would sweep this country. What renewed hope and courage would grip the Americans at this hour of our peril." And so the impact of that rally was almost immediate, and it was only 2 days later that the House of Representatives unanimously, and imagine that, unanimously approved a bill to establish a national day of prayer. And the bill was signed into law by President Truman about 2 months later. And so ever since then, every president selected a day of prayer of their choice, and then in 1988, it was amended to establish the National Day of Prayer on the first Thursday of every May, and that had become the permanent day of prayer. So prayer has a long history in our nation, and it stood out to me that we sort of turn to God more in times of peril, as Billy Graham said, in times of war. But then it reminded me that we're in a war. We're in a spiritual war. You know, there's been a time, even, you know, as long as I've been preaching, you sort of had to convince people that there was an enemy and that there was evil. You know what I mean? You had to almost point it out. Now I find I don't have to point out to people that there's evil. It's pretty evident, isn't it? I mean, when you see all the attacks, I mean, the evil that's going on. You know, I host a radio show every evening from 5 to 7, and it's not very hard to find some bad things to talk about. They're out there, okay? We got more material than we can get to, trying to show people the evil and hopefully how we stand against it. So it reminded me, as I thought of this evil, it reminded me of this familiar passage, of course, in Ephesians 6, that tells us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And then it tells us to put on the whole armor of God, that we would be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil, that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but that against principalities and against powers and rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's the spiritual warfare that we're talking about. And he says, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. It's a pretty evil day, amen? And having done all, to stand. That's our cause, to stand in the evil day. And then he says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench out the fiery darts of the enemy. Then he says for us to put on the helmet of salvation, and then take up the sword of the Spirit, that's offensive, which is the Word of God. And then a lot of times we stop right there, talking about this spiritual warfare. But there's another verse, verse 18. And when I preached through all this at one point, this was the last message in the series. This is where you get to. Praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. I love the NIV says it this way, that verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Prayer. This verse is included in a listing of the physical armor, which he is likening to spiritual armor, that prayer requires, is part of this. If the armor is what we fight with, then this is how you do battle. This is how you do it. Prayer itself is part of the spiritual warfare. Of course it is. It's the lifeblood of those who want to be victorious, for any people that want to be victorious in the spiritual life. It's by prayer that we stand firm. It's by prayer that we live by the truth. It's by prayer that we practice righteousness and exercise our faith. And it's by prayer that we trust in our salvation and apply the Word of God. It's by prayer that this armor is lived out in our life. Prayer, it's hard work, isn't it? Prayer is hard, but it's our greatest weapon, and it's why Satan will fight us the hardest, because he knows it's the greatest weapon. It's the battle, and Satan will fight you hand-to-hand combat to prevent you from having a prayer life. He will. It's been said Satan laughs at our schemes, mocks our prayers, sneers at our efforts, but what? He fears our prayers. Satan says, go ahead and go to church. Yeah, have your Bible study. Get your cup of coffee and have your devotion. That's fine. Sing your song. Go to Sunday school. You can fellowship with other believers. That's fine. But don't pray, because that's where the battle is won and lost. That's where it's at. And so today we talk about prayer. It's just communicating with God. That's what it is. It's just back and forth with God. It's a communication with God. It's the means of how we communicate to God. So let's talk about prayer. And I love this verse in the NIV where it says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Okay, that's that verse 18. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions. I think he's saying here that we have to pray consistently. We pray consistently on all occasions. It's sort of like a two-way radio, you know, or back and forth, or text messaging, or whatever, you know, point of technology you want to jump in on, where you're back and forth all the time, you know. It's continuous. It's always happening. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, never stop praying. Now, you know what that means? Never stop praying. That's what it means. I mean, that's about as simple as it gets, right? So let's say it this way. Prayer is not something you do a few minutes in the morning and a few minutes every evening. It's not something you do when you feel like it or when things are desperate. Prayer is actually a domain that you live in. It's the way you live. Pray at all times. Pray consistently. The psalmist said, evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice. He neither sleeps nor slumbers. God is always there. So you pray when you get up. You pray when you get ready. You pray when you leave. Yeah, you pray at meals. That's a good time to stop and pray. You pray as you drive. How many of you pray as you drive? People think you're crazy, don't they? Yeah. You pray as you drive. You pray when you put your kids or grandkids in bed. You pray in stressful situations. You pray in joyous situations. You pray all the time. You know, sometimes we get behind on our prayer life. Y'all ever notice that? You can kind of sometimes tell where people are, because when you say, hey, so-and-so, will you lead us in prayer? And group prayers are good. Will you lead us in prayer? And sometimes, you do that, and somebody starts 2 weeks back. Lord, we thank you for that good rain 2 weeks ago. Something like that. Go, well, 2 weeks ago? Some people go right back to where the last time, and then they try to catch up from there, right? Y'all ever been like that? You know, it shouldn't be like that. It should be a continuous conversation. I mean, when you pick up and start praying, you just pick up right where you left off, and that shouldn't have been too long ago. It's a continuous conversation. It's not something you have to go back and loop back in, God back in, and know what's going on. Not if you're having an effective prayer life. We can pray when we're alone. We can pray when we're together. We should do both. We can pray at special prayer meetings. We should do that. We should also pray at when we have lunch with friends or family or coworkers. We should just pray all the time. It's just a continuous time of prayer. Now, when I was a kid, I can't do much now. But when I was a kid, I took some piano lessons. And I remember one of the first songs. Sandy, did you even know I took piano lessons? You did? Okay. Yeah. Like, I know a C chord. That's about it. All right. I think I know it. One of the songs that first songs I remember really kind of learning how to peck out was a song that said, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne. Make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has already found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Any hour is a sweet hour of prayer. It really is. We should pray consistently. He says, pray on all occasions. So we pray on all occasions. But then I think we should pray, and here's another word, persistently. I hope these will stick with you. Pray persistently. We give up too easy. And Satan fights us to give up. Be encouraged, all right? You're not alone. Happens to me, happens to all of us. Happens to Brother Mark. We all fight this push to give up. It's just easy just to kind of pray and stop and then move on and forget about it. And forget about prayer. And we stop too easily. What did Jesus say, though, in Matthew chapter 7? He said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." He says, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. This is in the present tense. Keep on. Don't stop. Keep praying. Keep praying. Don't stop praying. The Bible doesn't tell us too much. This Ephesians passage is one that tells us about what's going on sort of in the heavenlies, in this spiritual warfare, what's going on behind our prayers. Because I think if we could see what's really going on, I think it would encourage us to be more persistent in our prayer if we knew what was really going on. One of the examples we have out of the Old Testament, though, is found in Daniel chapter 10, where the angel comes to Daniel, and says, "Daniel, don't be afraid. God has heard your prayers ever since you first decided to humble yourself in order to gain understanding." He was getting weary in the battle. The angel said, "I've come in answer to your prayer." And then here's the explanation. Now think about this going on behind your prayers. It says, "The evil angel, prince of kingdom of Persia," lets us know that demonic forces sort of have a geographic range. "This prince of the kingdom of Persia opposed me," this angel, "for 21 days. Was battling me for 21 days. As you're praying, there's a battle going on between this evil angel prince and God's angel Michael, one of the chief angels. He says, "Michael came to help me because I had been left alone there in Persia." There's a battle going on, and our prayers release God's power in the battle. I mean, but it's one of the wildest verses in all the Bible that probably a lot of us aren't aware of. It says that Daniel had this prayer that it just wasn't answered for a while, and he was discouraged. And then this angel comes and says, "We've heard you from the first day. We've heard you from your first prayer, but we've been in battle over this." And it was such an intense battle that Michael, the archangel, had to come down and help with this battle to overcome and gain the victory. And the same thing's happening when we're waiting on our prayer. So we have to keep praying. We have to keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. And God does answer our prayers. He does. Sometimes we don't think he's answered our prayer because we don't see the answer to the prayer that we wanted. You ever done that before? We don't get the answer we wanted, and so we think, well, God hadn't answered it yet. But God answers all of our prayers. I've been taught to remember it this way. Sometimes God answers our prayers no. Now, that doesn't mean to stop praying. It just means no. You're not praying according to his will. Sometimes God answers the prayers, whoa. Everybody say whoa. Thank God knows the word whoa. So it helps remember it, though. He says no. Sometimes he says whoa. That means maybe you're praying God's will, but it's just the timing's not right. Not praying in God's in timing. So keep praying. And then sometimes God answers our prayers, go. And that means it's my will and it's in my timing. And we'll talk more about that in a few minutes. But don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. I would encourage you, go look at Luke chapter 18. I won't go all into it this morning, but there you had a widow in the city that persistently prayed. And the judge there had no reason to listen to her prayer, no reason at all. But he says he was going to answer her prayer because she was continually coming and just wearing him out with her request. Any of you had kids like that and they'll just wear you out with requests, you know? They just don't stop, they just keep coming. Well, that's okay when we go to God. You can't over-petition God. You can't ask God too much. We think in human terms. Like, well, I ask. Now I need to wait and just see. No. Wear God out over it. That was the lesson of Luke chapter 18. Is don't be hesitant to continue to ask, to continue to pray, and let your prayers continue to become more of God's will for your life. So we pray consistently. We should pray persistently. Don't give up. Whatever it is out there that you've got, that you've been holding on to or praying for, don't give up. Don't stop praying. If you stopped on something 10 years ago, go pick it back up and begin to pray. And then we should pray systematically. This passage here in Ephesians says for us to pray with all kinds of prayers and requests. All kinds. I'll break that down for you. Here's what that means. It means pray with all kinds of prayers and requests. Again, pretty simple. Just pray. In other words, he's saying there's not one way to pray, and there's not one time to pray, and there's not one type of prayer to pray. He says there's all kinds of prayers and requests, and we should try to use them all best we can. I mean, the Lord himself gave us a model prayer, right, to follow. To pray, he says, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us our daily bread and forgive us of our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. There's a model prayer. Take your prayer life and build it around that. Pray systematically. Have a plan. We have plans for everything else. Why not have a plan for prayer? Of course, simple, very common is the ACTS acronym, A-C-T-S, right? You've heard that. Pray in adoration. Just begin. Praise God for who he is and praise him for his faithfulness to you. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That's just adoration. Then pray confession. That's the C. Express sorrow for the ways you've fallen short. Claim the forgiveness of God in your life. Then pray in thanksgiving. Express gratitude for the ways you see God's presence and God's power and God's provision in your life. And then prayer, have prayers of supplication, which is actually named out in the King James Version. Ask God what you need and express that he is your only source, that you're dependent upon him. That's supplication. There's all kinds of prayers and all kinds of ways to pray. Listen, sometimes we get so overwhelmed. Look, the needs are so great. They're so great. I mean, you can't even turn your head without seeing something to pray for. You can't talk to someone without being made aware of a need of prayer. People come to me all the time, consistently. Pray for this, pray for this, pray for this. Okay, and look, you can become overwhelmed. If you watch television, you see all kinds of evil that we need to pray against. But you can't pray for everything, every time, all the time. You just can't do it. So sometimes we just don't pray at all because we feel overwhelmed with the need for prayer. And so we just sort of go, you know, you're kind of an all-in kind of person. You go, if I can't do it all, subconsciously, you just kind of shut it out. So you've got different types of prayers. And your heart will dictate much of the burden if you're following God. Your heart, day to day, moment to moment. Some days there'll be a family member. Some days it'll be for your church. Some days it'll be for your community. Some days it can be for the nation. It can be for the world. It can be for missionaries that you've come across. Sometimes it'll be a time of crisis that'll come, all right? Sometimes it'll be a time of joy and thanksgiving that'll come. Just pray consistently. Just pray. Let it come. Try to find some kind of pattern. You know, when you're praying for other people, sometimes these concentric circles, you know, that we teach that in sales, but it works pretty good in prayer as well, right? You know, think about the people you know. Pray. You can pray for yourself. That's fine. Pray for some close friends and family. Then pray for your church family, sort of work your way out. Then begin to pray for people maybe you're acquaintances of, or that you know their name, or you know who they are, but maybe you don't know them that well. Pray for them. Then pray for the state. Pray for the nation. And fit me in there somewhere too, all right? Where I'd love for you to pray for me. Look, have things you pray for daily. Pray systematically. Have things you pray for daily. Have things that you pray for weekly. There's some things that you pray for monthly. That's okay. But just kind of organize your thoughts, organize the needs of prayer. It'll help you stay on track as you pray. It's okay. Things you're praying for monthly, somebody else is praying for daily. It's okay. God hears them all. But you can't pray for everything all the time. I think there's people who are called to a life of prayer, and they're able just to wipe everything else. But most of us are out also serving and doing and going and being. And so you pray as you go, but organize your prayers. So we pray systematically. We should. It'll help you in your prayer life. And then probably the most important thing we can come to, and I'll be finished, is we should pray biblically. And without that, your prayers aren't going to be super effective. Now, when I say we should pray biblically, what I mean is we should pray according to God's word. Because God's word is God's will. And that's how you know that you're praying God's will, is because you pray God's word. The Bible is God's primary way of speaking to us. It's one of the primary reasons we come and gather on Sunday and other times, is to hear the word of God. It's the reason traditionally in the Baptist church we've put the pulpit front and center. And we have said the proclamation of God's word is the center of what we do. God's word. But it's not just important in preaching. It's not just important when we gather together. It's integral also in our prayer life. If you want to know God, if you want to hear from God, if you want to know what he's saying, then you have to read his word. You have to listen to his word. You have to know his word. You have to study his word. You have to understand his word. And I can't get off into all the different ways you do that. You do it in all forms and settings, all of the above. But an open Bible should always accompany a bended knee or a bowed head. You got to pray the word of God. Sometimes, you know, you stop to pray and you don't know what to pray because you hadn't been in God's word for your prayers to sort of bounce out of God's word. You got to be in his word. That's where our confidence is in our prayer life. You know, if you feel defeated in your prayer life, if you don't feel very assured in your prayer life, like they're just bouncing off the wall, all this kind of stuff. If you feel that way, if you're not confident in your prayers, 1 John 5:14 tells us this is the confidence that we have in approaching God. That's prayer, approaching God. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. That's our confidence, is that we're praying his word and his will. So pray his word. And you go, well, how do you do that? Well, God will develop this in your life. But one of the easiest things you can do are take passages and just pray them in the first person. Have you done that? Maybe you did that a long time ago. Have you done it recently? Just take the scripture and just pray it in the first person. Very easily. You could go to Psalm chapter 23. And you could say, thank you, Lord, for being my shepherd. There's a lot you could say right there. Thank you for making me lie down in green pastures. Thank you for leading me beside quiet waters. Thank you, Lord, for restoring my soul. Thank you for guiding me in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. That's how you pray the scriptures. That's how you pray the scriptures. And look, and this is one of the most important things we can do. I know some of you here got children, I see. One of the most important things we can do is pray the scripture over our kids and with our kids so they will understand God's word. I think one of the things I'm proudest of, you know, my kids have been here with me different times. My son came here with me a lot back when I was filling in for you guys regular. And he's 22, going on 23 now. My daughter's 20. And I'll tell you, I think one of the things I'm most proud of, and it happens practically every day, is they call or they text or they come and see, and they tell us, please pray for me on this. Please pray for me on this. Please pray for me on this. They'll text, please pray for me. And they mean it. They want us to pray for them because we prayed for them all growing up, and they know the difference that it's made in their life. And so they're persistently asking us to pray for them, and we do. I mean, it happened yesterday with both of them, one of them by text and one of them in person. And they gave us issues that they were dealing with and things that they were happy about and said, please remember these things in prayer. So praying for your children, praying for your grandchildren, helping them have that word in their life. Prayer's this domain we live in. It's this continuous conversation with God. You know, it's you know, like text messaging back and forth. You know, you text and then you text back, and it might be 5 or 10 minutes and then you're back. And it's a continuous conversation, this domain that we live in. And why? Because we're at war. We're in spiritual war for our nation, for our churches, for our families. We're at war, and we've got to learn to be more effective in prayer. Jesus said, watch and pray so that you don't fall into temptation. You don't want to fall into temptation. What do? Keep an eye out and pray, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We have to pray according to God's will. Prayer doesn't change God. It changes us. Sometimes we might think God changed. No, we're the one who changed. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to change. He's the same for all people, all places, and all times. That's truth. He's not going to change. But prayer changes us and aligns us with His will. That's why it's so important that we pray biblically. And sometimes it can be hard. Sometimes you don't feel it right. You don't think it right. Our minds get messed up. We get confused. We get discouraged and we don't think straight. So look, when you think it's impossible, you pray, God, I know that you said all things are possible in Luke chapter 18, verse 27. Sometimes when you feel like I'm just too tired, you pray Matthew 11, 28, where God says, I'll give you rest. When you don't feel like you can go on, you just remember that Paul said about God that His grace, God told Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. When you say, man, my mind, I just can't figure this stuff out. Remember Proverbs chapter 3, where God says, I will direct your paths. When you just think, I just can't do it. I can't. Remember, Philippians 4:13 says that you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. You pray these things, that you remind yourself of what God's Word says, and that encourages you and it gets you moving in His will. When you say, I'm not able, you remember 2 Corinthians 9:8, where God says, but I am able, and you walk in His power. When you say, it's just not worth it anymore, I'm done, I'm throwing in the towel, you remember Romans 8:28 that says, it will all be worth it. When you say, I just have messed up and I can't forgive myself, you remind yourself, 1 John 1:9 says that God has forgiven you. He will forgive you. When you're afraid and paralyzed and don't think you can move forward, you remember 2 Timothy 1:7, and you thank God for not giving you a spirit of fear. Just remind yourself of what God's Word says. God knows what He says, but it reminds you of what He says and gives you the movement forward. When you say, I'm always worried, I'm always frustrated, I get bogged down, God says in 2 Peter 5:7, He says that you can just cast all your cares upon me. That's how you pray biblically. When you think, I'm not smart enough, I can't do that, I can't figure this out. 2 Corinthians 1:30, God said, I'll give you wisdom. When you say, I'm all alone, I don't have anybody, God says, Hebrews 13:5, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. That's how you pray biblically. But look, you got to know these scriptures. Okay, and they're there, they're easy to find. But you got to remind yourself of some scriptures. Put some scriptures up where you can see them. Put it in front of yourself. Put it on your phone. Send yourself things daily to remind you of what God says so you'll know how to pray in His will and in His timing. And that will make you a more effective prayer person. Now look, my prayer life's not where it should be. Absolutely not. And I'd venture to say all of us here today would say the same thing. Our prayer life's not where we'd want it to be. But let's be reminded that this is the way we win the battle. It is. We're in a battle. And it's the way that we win the battle is through prayer. All kinds of prayers at all times. Never stop. Always seeking, always knocking, always asking. We pray the will of God and align ourselves with Him and His Word and in His timing. Let's pray together. Let's stop a moment and pray. It's enough talking. Let's pray. And I would even just open the altar to you this morning. If you want to come and just kneel, maybe it's time to take a few moments and just bend that knee. Just pray some of these prayers that we've mentioned. Maybe there's someone on your heart. You want to come and pray another kind of prayer, a prayer of intercession for someone. Stand in the gap for them. Just come and let's pray. Oh, sweet hour of prayer. We just stop and take a few moments. It's just a domain that you live in. Continuous conversation with our Maker, with our Savior, with our Redeemer, with our King, with God Almighty. Watch and pray, lest you fall into temptation. Oh Lord, today we come and we thank you that you all are all of these and much more. Whatever we need, whoever we need, you're enough. You're sufficient. We have to look nowhere else but unto you. Oh Lord, today we pray for those gathered in this room. Lord, I pray that we would all be encouraged to stay in constant conversation with you, walking with you, hearing from you, sharing with you, being honest with you about where we are in our life and in our struggles. Lord, I pray for those who also make up Smoke Rise Baptist Church but may not be in this room right now, whether they're working somewhere else on the campus or whether they're not here today. Maybe they haven't been here in a while. Whoever, Lord, we pray for Smoke Rise Baptist Church and all those who make it up. Lord, I pray that you would draw them together, Lord, and make them a great and mighty army for you in this war right here in this community. Lord, we pray for those this morning who are lost and undone with no recognition of you this morning, haven't even given you a thought on the Lord's Day. They've slept in. They've done what they wanted to do. They've went where they wanted to go. They're living for themselves. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you would move upon them in some supernatural way. That you would use even one of us or use someone who knows you to interact with them. To speak the word to them. To draw them close to you. That they would see their need for a Savior. Lord, we pray for our state. We pray for our nation. We pray for the world. There's so much to pray for, God. You know all of these needs, Lord. May you tune our heart into them. Pray where we can be most effective. And we can be the most efficient in our prayer life for your honor and for your glory and for your battle and for your sake and for your victory in our day and our time. In this generation. Oh Lord, may the words of our mouth and may the meditations of our heart, including our prayers, be pleasing in your sight. You are our rock and you are our redeemer. And oh God, we thank you for such a great salvation that you have given to us. That even and yet while we were sinners, you sent your Son to die for us. Raised him from the dead, and that he is a soon returning king. Oh God, may our mind be fixed and set upon your glory and your gospel. We pray all of these prayers today, all kinds of prayers, in Jesus' name. If you agree with that, stand and say amen.